We're beginning here on the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the issue of chalamot that were raised yesterday. In the first half of today's daf, the Gemara is going to bring evidence or stories about two of the positions that we saw in the Amoraim yesterday with regards to chalamot. What we ended off with was Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan's position, Ein Marim Lo Adam, Ela Mehurhurei Libo. Dreams are just a result of the thoughts, fears, and subconscious of the individual coming out while they sleep. And that's going to be the first two stories that we bring in today's daf. We also saw the position in the Gemara that kol ha-cholamot hochim achar ha-peh, that all dreams are determined by their interpretation, which we'll see in the subsequent stories. Amalei Kesar, the Rabbi Yeshua bar Chananya. So the Caesar said to Rabbi Yeshua bar Chananya, although it's unlikely that it's the Caesar, but rather the head of the Judean government for the Romans, Amritu de Chachmita Tuva. They tell me that you, the Jews, are very smart. Emily, my chazina bechalmai. Tell me what I'm gonna see in my dreams tonight. Now, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya is a Tana who lives in the generation after the Chorban HaBayit. He's a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's a peer of Rabbi Gamliel b'Yavne. So we're speaking about a time after the suppression of the great revolt by the Jews, and in a time period where the Roman government is focused on the East and fighting battles against the Persians. And he says, Chazit, what you're going to see tonight is the Meshachvelach Parsai, that the Persians are going to press you into service of the king, Begarbi Becha, and they will despoil you, or they will enslave you, Virayi Becha Shkatzei Bechudra Dedavo, and they're going to make you herd these creepy crawly things, or these tame animals, Bechudra Dedavo, with a golden staff. Rabbi Yoshua Bar Chananya was playing on his fears in the battles that ensue with the Persians, that he's going to be taken into captivity by the Persians, and then pressed into service or slavery by the Persians, because they are going to win the battle. So he's playing on the fears of this Caesar. And sure enough, here Herakule Yoma, the whole day he was thinking about this. And then that's what appeared in his dream that night. So this corroborates what we saw again as at the end of yesterday's daf. So what Rabbi Yeshua bar Chananya did was he planted seeds of thoughts that he knew would plague the Roman emperor or the Roman leader of Judea and bothered him all day. And because of that, he saw it in his dream that night. Amalei Shvor Malka the Shmuel. So now on the other side, we have Shvor Malka, who is second king in the Sassanid dynasty in Persia. He has very good relationships with the Jews. He was tolerant of other religious beliefs or other religious practices. And Shmuel happens in a number of places in Shas to have a very good relationship with him. And Shmuel Malka gives tremendous respect to Shmuel. He says, Amritu de Chachmita Tuva. He says to Shmuel, I heard that you guys are very smart. Emali, my chazina b'chalmai. Tell me what I'm going to see in my dream tonight. So Shmuel does the same thing that Rabbi Yeshua bar Chananya did from the Roman perspective. He does it from the Persian's perspective. Amalei chazita da atu ramai. Sorry that the Romans came. And they took you into captivity. And then they put you into forced labor to mill the pits of the dates, with a golden mill. In both cases, there's the mention of the golden scepter in the first case and the golden mill here to indicate that this is a person of royalty and that they're being now pressed into service or slavery. So the gold is the indication of their stature. And then they are playing on their fears, because over here, Shvor Malka fought numerous battles on the Western Front, the Persians against the Romans. He was very successful at first at conquering large areas through the area of Syria, and he actually took one of the Roman emperors into captivity, but he also lost some of the battles. And so again, Shmuel's playing on something that's a fear of his, and therefore here, Hur Kule Yoma, it plagued them all day, and the Hortachazo, and sure enough, that night, he saw the dream that Shmuel had predicted. But again, in both instances, what Rabbi Yoshua bar Chananya and Shmuel did was play on fears or things that they knew that were issues for these individuals. By raising those issues, it forced them or caused them to think about it all day. And after thinking about it all day, then they had the dream, and that's the Kayim, what we saw yesterday. Now we're moving on to a story about Rava and Abaye. It's a very difficult story, but the story in the end upholds what we saw yesterday, that kol ha-cholamot hulchim achar ha-peh, that all dreams go after the interpretation. So Bar Hadyo, there was this individual in Bavel, that Mafshir Chal Mehavel, he was an interpreter of dreams. Mandavi Le Agro, someone who paid him, Mifashir Le Limal Yuta, he would interpret it positively. and someone who didn't pay him, used to interpret it negatively. So over here you have a machloket within the commentaries as to whether this Bar Hadyo was actually a charlatan and there was nothing to him, or did he really have skills or the capability to interpret dreams. So there are those that believe that he was a complete charlatan and that his predictions here are all future predictions, which there's no way to test. And even there's a case later on, there's something that he says, which is said about something that was a fact and then is corroborated. So if you believe that he's a charlatan, you'd have to say that he just got lucky by chance that he happened to land on it or get it right, but not that he had any skill set over here. On the other hand, there's a large number of the commentaries that believe that he did have skill here, and that is somewhat evidenced by, number one, the fact that Abai and Rava keep coming back to him. Number two is, later on in the sequence of stories, we'll see there's something that he says, which is said about something that was a fact and then is corroborated, which would seem to indicate that he had some sort of power of interpretation. And lastly, we saw yesterday that there are people who are gifted with this ability to interpret. The Baal HaTosafot said that Perish Mi, the Mazal Shata Leida Gorim. It has to do with when you're born, under which constellation that you're born, and it has nothing to do with being wise. The capacity or the capability to interpret dreams has to do with when you were born and under what Mazal you were born. And therefore, there is the view of the Ben Yoyada who suggests that over here, this was his skill set. He was only able to interpret dreams when he was paid, and when he wasn't paid, he wasn't able to interpret dreams, and that was the mazel that he was born under. So he sees this in a much more positive light. Others see this as being a ploy for him to make money, and basically he was causing people to be fearful of not paying him, lest they get a bad interpretation of their dream, and he basically is coercing or extorting people for money in order to interpret it positively. But all of those views see him as having a capability of interpretation. Abai v'Rava Chazu Chalma. Abai and Rava both had dreams. Abai Yavle Zuza. Abai paid this Bar Hadyo. Rava lo Yavle, and Rava did not pay him. Amri le Akaryan b'Chalmin. We saw these psukim in our dream. The psukim that they're going to bring, they're going to be a series of these, are all from the Tochacha in the Sefer Dvarim Parshat Ki Tavo. And the first pasuk they quote is from Perek Chavchet, pasuk Lamed Aleph, where it says, Shorcha tavuach le'enecha, your shor will be shechted in front of your eyes, v'lo tochal mimenu, and you will not eat from it, chamorcha gazul milifanecha, your donkey will be stolen in front of you, v'lo yeshuv lach, and it won't be returned, toncha nitunot lo'ivecha, v'enlecha moshia, and your herds, your flocks, will be given to your enemy, and there'll be no salvation. So they both said that they had a vision of this pasuk in their dream. The Rava, who did not pay him, Amalei, Sid Iskach, your business dealings will lose. Lohani lach nmeichal, and you'll have no appetite to eat. Mi utzva delibach, from the despondency of having such bad business dealings. Abaye amar le to Abaye who paid him, he said, Marvach iskach, your business dealings will be very successful, profitable. Lohani lach nmeichal, and you'll have no appetite to eat. Mechedva delibach, because you'll be so happy, so excited about all the successes that you have, that it'll chase away your appetite. Amri le. So then they brought another pasuk from the Tochacha. This is pasuk mem aleph. Banim ubanot tolidu. Velo yulach, and they won't be yours. Ki yelchu b'shevi, because they're going to go into captivity. The Rava amar le, ki bushute. He interpreted it in its bish, means bad way, meaning literally what the pasuk says, that you have children that will be taken away into captivity. Le Abaye amar le, to Abaye says, ben chav benotecha nefishe. You'll have so many sons and daughters, uminsaban benatech la'alma, and your daughters will get married to other individuals, umedamian ba'apach kedga azle b'shivya, and it'll be in your eyes as if they're taken into captivity, because you won't have sufficient room by you to house everybody, even though sometimes the daughters do live by their family. In their day, most of the time, it was the sons that lived by the family. The daughters went to other families. But even if you were to have your daughters live by you, you have too many children. Therefore, some of your daughters are have to go live by the others, and it'll be like, for you, they were taken into captivity. So now already you start to see a pattern here, which is over and over again, Rava is going to get a negative interpretation, and Abai is going to get a positive interpretation. Because of that, there are people like the Shita Mikubetzet and the Ritva, who say that the questions that were presented by Rabbi and Rava, even though later on the Gemara is going to say Rava came alone later on, and implying that they came together here, even though they came together, nevertheless they asked their questions separately, otherwise it would have been obvious to Rava that there was a negative interpretation every time for him and a positive one for Abaye. They then continue and suggest maybe that's not the case. Maybe Rava was aware of what was happening with Abaye as well. And nevertheless, he believed that the mazel of the individual was influential in the interpretation of the pasuk. And so that even though the interpretation for Rava was negative and Abaye was positive each time, he thought maybe that had something to do with his mazel, because there was a connection between the mazel and the interpretation of the dream, just like there's a connection between the mazel and the ability to interpret the dreams. And therefore, he didn't think anything wrong with regards to the fact that there was a bias here. And over here, he interprets the pasuk kipshuto, as the Marsha says, because when it comes to this, you can interpret it kipshuto and have it only be negative for Rava. On the other hand, the pasuk before of Shorcha Tavuach Le'enecha, he did not interpret in its pashut pshat for Rava, because that would have implications for Bar Hadyo as well. Because the only way that it would be that Shorcha Tavuach Le'enecha is if the enemy occupies the area. And therefore, it wouldn't just affect Rava, it would also affect Bar Hadya. On the other hand, you can have a situation where an individual's children are kidnapped, where there's no necessarily enemy occupying the area, and it can affect one particular person, and not everybody in the area, and therefore he interprets it in its simple explanation. And so too, the Marsha says in the upcoming interpretations that he brings from the Tochacha, he no longer says kibishute in its simple explanation, because if he does that, it would not have just an impact on Rava, it would have a broader impact on everyone in the area, and therefore he only wants to interpret it negatively for Rava, not for himself as well. So then they came with another dream, Akaryan, which is Pasuk Lamed Bet there, Banecha ubinotecha netunim lamacher, ve'einecha ra'ot v'chalot alehem kol hayom ve'ein lakel yadecha le'abaye. So it's interesting here that he switches the order, and now he starts to interpret Abaye's first. Until now he interpreted Rava's first negatively. Now he switches over to Abaye's first and interpret Abaye's positively. And that maybe is because he was pulling him in, which is in the first two he interpreted it negatively up front for Rava. And so then he thought maybe Rava won't come anymore. So then he flipped the order to start speaking from Abaye's perspective first, who had paid him. So he was going to interpret it Latova. And therefore Rava would be tempted by the good interpretation and therefore would bring his dream up to Bar Hadyo again. And in the end, he keeps interpreting it negatively. In essence, he's trying to, according to many, force him to pay for the good interpretation. And therefore he's showing him you could get a good interpretation if you just paid for the interpretation. You'll have lots of children. You'll say that they should marry your relatives. Your wife says to her relatives. And she will compel you. And you'll end up marrying them off to her relatives. As if to another nation. I mean, they're going to go to the family of your wife and not to your family. That your wife is going to pass away. And then the children, your children, will have a stepmother, which will be like an amacher. And the Gemara quotes that it's Rava, quote unquote, the Shita to, Dama Rava, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Baba, Amar Rav, my dichtiv, what is meant by Banecho ubnotecha netunim lamacher? Zoe Shadav. That is a wife of the father, meaning a stepmother. Then they continue to bring psukim, Akaryan behalmin. We saw in our dream the following pasuk from Kohelet. Lechecho besimcha lachmecha, ushtei v'leiv tov yeinecha, ki kvar ratzai lukim et maasecha. So it's a very positive pasuk. Abaye amar lei, mirvach iskach, your business dealings will be very successful. V'chalta v'shatita v'karita psuka mechet v'libach. You'll eat, you'll drink, and then you'll read psukim out of the joy of your heart, out of all the excitement from your business success. L'rov amar lei, say diskach, you're going to lose in your business dealings. Tavachta v'lo achalta, you're going to shech, and you're not going to eat, because you're not going to have an appetite to eat. And then whether the shatit is also connected to that you also won't want to drink, or is the shatit connected to the next statement that v'shatita v'karita, and then you're going to drink and read psukim, lefuchei pachdach, in order to wash away your sorrows. As we'll see later on in the perek, individuals drink wine to wash away their sorrows, and there was a practice in the Beit Avel to drink wine because of the difficulty with facing the reality. And reading things that come from positive parts of Tanakh in order to lift up the spirits of those that are despondent. So similarly over here, they're going to read you good things and they're going to give you wine, not because things are good, but because things have gone so bad or poorly for you. As the Maharsha points out, that the Roshei Tevot of Lech Achol B'Simcha Lachmecha, a Roshei Tevot, Aleph Bet Lamed, is Avel. And that's what you do for the Avel, is you try to be Mesameachim. You bring Tanchumim and Simcha through both the wine and the psukim, or stories that you bring to him. Akrinan, now we go back to the Tochacha. Here we're looking at Pasuk Lamed Chet in the Tochacha, where it says, Zerab Totzi Asadeh, that your fields will produce large amounts, uma'ate esof, but you only bring back in, you'll only harvest a small amount, ki yachzalenu harbe, because the locust or the grasshoppers are going to consume it. So again, the Abaye amale mi reishe. For Abaye, he interpreted the first half of the pasuk, which is the positive aspect of the pasuk, zerab totzi asadeh, large amounts of produce will come to you. The Rava amale mi seifa. And then Rava, he interpreted from the latter part of the pasuk, ma'ate esof, that you will only gather in, you only harvest a small amount. Arkaryan, and so then they have another pasuk from the Tochacha, pasuk mem, which is, zeitim yulecha b'chol gvulecha, you have olives in all of your land, v'shemen lo tasuch, but you will not be able to squeeze any olive oil from them, ki ishal zeitecha, because they will prematurely fall off the tree. So labayar malay mireshe. Again, for Abaye, he interpreted the early part of the pasuk, which is, zeitim yulecha b'chol gvulecha, you'll be a bounty of olives in your possessions, rava amar le misefe. And for rava, he interpreted from the latter half, no matter how many olives you have, you won't get any oil from them, because they will fall off the trees prematurely. Akaryan, they read from what's the introduction in Kitavo to the Tochacha. There in Pasuk Yud it says, Veru kolamei aret, ki shem Hashem nikra lecha, v'yaru mimecha, that all of the amei aretz will see that Hashem Hashem is called upon you. We saw earlier in the Masechta that Rabbi Lezer Gadol says that that references to the tefillin shel Rosh, v'yaru mimecha, and then they will be fearful of you. The Baye Amar Leis, for Abaye says, Nafaklach Shema, your name will go out and be widely known, the Reish Metivta Havet, because you're going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Ematach Nafalat Ba'alma. And then the people will be fearful of you or respectful of you because you're a person in a position of power and leadership. Rava Marlei, B'daino Demalka Advar. There's going to be a break-in to the storehouses of the king. Umetasfat Biganve. And they're going to accuse you of being a thief. B'daini Kuli Alma Kavachomer Minach. And everybody else is going to then think about themselves and say, if they took Rava and they suspect him of theft, then we're all at risk, and therefore they're going to be fearful. V'yaru, they will be fearful, mimeka, they won't fear you, but they'll be fearful because of what happened to you. L'machar, the next day, Atvar Badaino D'malka, it sure enough happened that the storehouses of the king were broken into. And then if you follow the girsa of the Bach over here, it says, Va'atu, v'tavsi le rova. They came and they accused or incarcerated Rova for this crime. Dachil kuliyama. Everybody was fearful in the area. V'amrei Rova itfas. If Rova was taken into incarceration for this, anan lo koshkin, certainly we should be fearful. So this is one of the instances where it seems to be that it actually came true. So if you believe that he's a charlatan, you'd have to say that he just got lucky and it worked out that way, that it turned out to be true. Now the truth is that Bar Hadya might have known already that Rava's mazel was negative. And we do have a statement by Rava in Moed Katan Kafchet Amud Aleph where he says, Bnei Chaye Mazone La Bischuta Talya Milta. And therefore he thinks it has nothing to do with your schiot and to do with your mazel. And therefore he believed that he had bad mazel. And then all of this just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy for Rava, as we saw in the Gemara in Horio Taf Yudbet and Kreto Taf Vav, where the Gemara discusses the fact that you shouldn't play around with Simanim for the future because they can have a negative feedback loop. And that's what seems to be happening with Rava over here as well. And then that might explain, according to those that think that Bar Hadyo is a charlatan, that the reason that he's getting these right is because Rava's mazel is bad. Rava's having a difficult time, or he feels that his mazel's bad, by feeding into that negativity, it just feeds on itself, and therefore his mazel stays bad because he thinks it's going to be bad, and therefore Bar Hadya is getting it right, not because he has any insight into the dreams, but rather simply because he's just feeding Abaye's good mazel and saying that it'll continue to be good, and Rova's bad mazel will continue to be bad, and therefore becomes self-fulfilling in a sense. Or it's possible that he does have some skill over here, and he does have an ability to interpret dreams. Amri Lei, Chazan Chasa Alpum Dane. We saw lettuce that was sitting on the top of a barrel of wine. Both Abai and Rav made a living from being vintners. They made wine, and therefore they have dreams about barrels of wine. And now he interprets them. Abai Mamar Le If Iskach. Your business dealings or your merchandise will double Kechasa. like that of the lettuce, which has multiple leaves over one over the other. Rav Amar Lei, Marir Iska Kichaso, that your business dealings will be bitter, like the lettuce, which is either the lettuce in the smaller leaves or the stalks is bitter, but the leaves are sweet. Or because we're dealing with different species of lettuce, some of which are sweeter, some of which are bitter, what we use for maror on Pesach. Amar Lei, Chazan Bisra Al Pumdane. We saw meat that was on top of the barrels of wine. The Bayer Amar Lei, Basim Chamrach, that your wine will be so tasty and so sought after. Ba'atei Kuliyama LeMizban Bisra V'Chamra Minach. So people will all come to be by your wine and your meat, because wine and meat come together or eaten together. And since your wine of such a high quality, people are going to seek out your wine and your basar. The Rav Amar Lei, Takif Chamrach, that your wine will spoil, sour, turn to vinegar. People have to eat meat to offset the pungency of the wine that they drink, that which is purchased from you. Amri Lei, Chazan, Chavita, the Tali Bidikla. We saw a barrel that was hanging in a palm tree. The Bayam Arle, Midlei, Iska Kedikla. Your business dealings will rise like the palm tree straight up. Rav Amar Lei, Chali Iska Ketamre, that your business dealings will be sweet like the date. And as Rashi notes over here, the wine being super sweet is a negative, and it'll be cheap, just like the sweet dates are a commodity in Bavel. Your wine is not going to be something that is sought after, it's going to be cheap. Amri Lei, Chazan Rumna, the Kadachi Apum Dane. We saw a rimon, a pomegranate that was rooting in the mouth or the top of a barrel of wine. The Bayi Amar Lei, Ashik Iskach Kerumna, that your business dealings will appreciate like the high price that's paid for a rimon. Rav Amar Lei, Kave Iskach Kerumna, that your business dealings will be stale or sour like a dried out pomegranate or a bad pomegranate. Amri Lei, Chazan, Chavita, the Nafo, the Bira. We saw a barrel of wine that fell into a cistern. The Bayi Amar Lei, to Abai says, Mitve Iskach, your merchandise will be heavily in demand or desired. Kida Amar, like people say, Nafal Pita Bibira, the bread fell into the cistern. Velo Ashtakach, and we can't find it anymore. So to over here, your wine or your merchandise will be in such demand that people will seek it and they won't be able to find it. Rav Amar Lei, Psid Iskach, your business dealings or your wine will be ruined. Bishadulei Libira, and people will throw it in the cistern because it's worthless. Amri Lei, Chazinan Bar Chamra, Dekaya Izdan Vinoer. We saw in a dream a young donkey that is sitting on its head, or sitting by their head, or is by a pillow, Vinoer, and is braying. Labaya Marle, Malkot Havit, you're going to be a king, Dekaya Mura Alach, and they're going to put up a megaphone for you, and is interpreting the chamor to be the loud sound or the noise of the chamor, because the Amora is going to project your drashot to the public. The Amora is the individual who repeats over what the Rosh Yeshiva or the Darshan says, and he both either translates it, if it's in a different language, into the colloquial, as well as that he raises his voice to project it to the individuals who are gathered there to hear the drasha. The Rav Amar Lei, Peter Chamor, Gahit Mitfilech. The Pasuk that's found from Vayaki V'Echa in your tefillin, which is one of the four parshiot of tefillin, that our chamor is missing. It was erased from your tefillin. So Amar Lei, Rava says back to him, Lididi Chazili Ve'ite. I saw my tefillin and it's there. So that's not correct. Samalei, Vav de Peter Chamor, Vadai Gahit. The Vav from Peter Chamor was definitely erased, mitfilach, from your tefillin. The Peter Chamor that is in Parshat Vayir Kevyecha is written chaser. So the claim of Bar Hadya was that the Sofer originally wrote it Malay, and then afterwards erased the Vav, which would only be a problem if he erased the Vav after he had already written everything. Had he erased it beforehand, it would have been fine. Now, the Bach has a continuation of the story, which is Ein Rava. Rava then looked at his tefillin, Ashkach Vav de Peter Chamor Gahit Bitfila. Sure enough, the Vav of Peter Chamor was erased in his tefillin. Again, whether that makes it pasul or not depends on whether it was erased and then written Kasidran, or it was erased after the fact. But nevertheless, here's another corroboration or story where Bar Hadya says something, and it seems like it is true. Most of the things he's saying are in the future, so there's no way to know whether they come true or not. But over here, it's something he's saying that is a fact. And Rava checks the facts, and sure enough, that is that way. Similar to what we saw before with the story of Rava being incarcerated or accused of stealing from the treasuries of the king. So this is supportive of those individuals who want to suggest that Bar Hadyo was not a charlatan, but rather he had some capabilities with regards to interpretations of dreams. The Sof Azal Rava Lechudei Legabei. In the end, Rava comes to visit Bar Hadyo alone. So this is the question that's raised by the Shittim Gubetzet, the Ritva. It seems that beforehand he was there together with Abaye, and he was hearing all this go on, and yet he didn't figure out that there was some sort of bias in his interpretation, despite the fact that it's all done in front of him. So we saw the two answers that they gave, either that he wasn't personally in front of him, each one was interpreted separately, even though they came together, or even if they were interpreted together, Rava thought it was Taloi B'Mazal, and therefore he did not assume that this Bar Hadyo was being influenced by the payment. Amalei Chazai Dasho Brayato, I saw my outer door, Dinafal, that fell down. Amalei, he said to him, Ishticha Shechva, that your wife is going to pass away. And the outer door represents his wife because the woman is the Akeret Habayit, or the Mishmeret Habayit, and therefore when the door falls down, that is an indication of the loss of his wife, or that his wife will pass away. So Amalei Chazai Kachai V'Shinai D'Natur, I saw that my molars and my incisors that fell out. Amalei, so he interpreted that to mean Benach U'Benatach Shachvan, that your children are going to pass away. Amalei Chazai Tarte Yone D'Parchan, I saw two doves that were flying away. Amalei Trei Nashei Migasht, you're going to divorce two women. And as Rashi points out, that's because Yishto Shel Adam Kruya Yona, a man's wife is called a Yona, Dichtiv Yonati, Tamati. Amalei Chazai Trei Gargilidai Delifta, I saw two tops of turnips in the dream. Amalei Trei Kulfei Bilat, you're going to be hit with two blows by a cudgel or a club. Azal Rava Hawayoma, and sure enough, Rava went that day. Biyoti Be Midrasha, and he was sitting in the Beit Midrash learning. Kuleyoma Ashkara Chanutre Sage Nohore, all day long in the Beit Midrash, there were these two blind individuals, Dakamanatsu, Bahadayododi, they were quarreling with each other, they had an altercation. Azal Rava Lefrukinu, so Rava finally got up and said, let me break up this fight. Umahu, the Rava Tre, and then they hit, seemingly accidentally, they were trying to hit their other individual. Instead, they ended up hitting Rava, and he took two blows. Dalul Mukhya Akrite, they raised their hand again to hit again, and meantime, they're blind, so they can't see that they're really hitting Rava and not the other individual. And Rava says, Amar Mistaye, it's enough. Train Chazai, I only saw two turnip heads in my dream, and therefore, there's no more blows that I'm deserving of today. So again, here you see some sort of coming to fruition of those items that Bar Hadyo says. So Rava finally got wind of the problem, and he said he paid him in order to get a better interpretation, and sure enough, as he paid him, he got a better interpretation, or all the dreams were interpreted in a positive light. Whether that's because Rava in the beginning did not believe that the money was a factor, unlike the Ben Yoyada said, which is that there's certain people who can only interpret dreams for money, and therefore Rava didn't believe that, but now he comes around to the fact that maybe that is the case, or he realized that this individual has some power to him, and he wanted the dreams to be interpreted positively, so therefore he saw that Abai was paying and getting better results, so then he also pays to get better results. Amalei Chazai Ashito Dinofo. I saw the way that they bring in the Mesorah Shas from Rashi other places is that it's the foundation of the walls. Back on Daf Chof Chet, with the story of deposing of Rabbi Gamliel, and he goes to visit Rabbi Yeshua in his house, over there it says that Ashito, the Beitach, that the walls of his house were black. So there would mean that it's the walls of the house. Well, it's the walls of the house, the foundation of the house, did not fall, that they fell down. Amalei, now all of a sudden he gets a positive interpretation. Nechasim below mitzarim kanita. You have merchandise now that have no boundaries with it, meaning that they will profit greatly, as if there's no room in the house and the walls burst outwards. Amalei chazai apadno de baye de nofel. I saw the villa of Abaye that it fell down, v'kaskian avkei, and then the dust covered it over. Amalei Abaye shchiv, Abaye is going to pass away, umitivtei achil gabech, and his yeshiva is going to come join you or be by you. Amalei chazai apadno didi, I saw my own villa, the nofel, that fell down, v'atai kulei alma shaka levinta levinta, and then all the people came and took brick by brick. Amalei shmatatach mevadran ve'alma, that your word, your teachings are going to be spread throughout the world. So the apadno, your house, represents your teachings, your Beit Midrash, and everybody's trying to get a piece of it because you're the Rosh Yeshiva, you're the Gadol Ador. Amalei, so he says, I had another dream. Chazai da'avka reishe v'natar mukre. My head was split open, and my brain slipped out. So now this is something that in a dream would seemingly be negative. Yet Bar Hadyo found a positive way to interpret it and says, Amalei udra mi beisadyo nofik. Feathers or the stuffing of your pillow will come out. So he gave an innocuous interpretation to something that seemingly was negative. Amalei akaryon halala de mitzra b'chalma. I was saying over halala mitzri in a dream, as Rashi describes over here. Halala mitzri is as opposed to halal agadol. It's not just the first half of halal that we say on the Seder night. Halala mitzri, according to this, is the entire halal that we say on Yom Tov Pesach, but not halal agadol, which we do say at the end of the Seder. Amalei nisa mitrachesh lach. He says that a miracle is going to happen to you, just like we say halal over the miracles that happened in Mitzrayim. And Rashi says over here, ayidei nisim nikra nisan. The month of Nisan is called Nisan because of the miracles that took place at Mitzrayim, which is interesting only because the name derives from the Babylonian months, but it's an interesting play on Nisan that it references to Nisim. And the Gemara at the end of Pesachim says they instituted that just like by Yitziat Mitzrayim they say Hallel, so too on any difficulty that befalls Klal Yisrael and Hashem saves them or redeems them from it, that we say Hallel. So Hallel is for things that are miraculous, and therefore he interprets for him, a miracle is going to happen to you, Rava. Havagazel ba'dei ba'arba. It happened to be that Rava and Bar Hadyo were found on the same boat or raft, and they were taking a trip, a ferry across the river. Amar ba'de gavra d'minachish le'nisa lomali. Bar Hadyo says, wait a minute, this guy, I interpreted his dream that a miracle is going to happen to him. Maybe this boat's going to sink, and he'll miraculously survive, but me being on this boat is not a good idea, because I'm not guaranteed to get that same salvation or miracle. And he was particularly worried being on the water, because Halala Mitzri was said over Kriyat Yam Suf, and therefore he felt that maybe Rava was going to be saved in the water. Yet Bar Hadyo, who was seemingly a foe or negative on Rava, would then bear the brunt of that by drowning instead of being saved. Bahadi de Kasalik, so he jumped off the boat or left the boat quickly. Nafal Siframine, his journal or his ledger fell away from him. Ashkeche Rava, Rava found the journal or the ledger. Bechaza Davaktivbe, and he saw that what was written in it. Again, this corroborates what we were discussing yesterday. Kol acholamot hochim acharapeh, that all dreams go after the interpretation. Amar Rosha Bididach Kaima had to do with you in the end. All these interpretations were dependent on you. So it wasn't simply about mazel, as the Rishonim were describing, that Rava thought all along that it had to do with his mazel or by his mazel. In the end, what's written in the ledger or the book of Bar Hadyo is that his interpretation governs, and therefore it could be either way. It has nothing to do with the muzzle of Rava or Abaye, but it has to do with the way that he interprets the dream. Bitzaratan kule hai, he says, and you caused me all this difficulty, all of these problems because of the interpretations that you gave, that all my business would be poor and that all these difficult things would happen to me. Kulo mechil nalach, I forgive you for all those things that you interpreted negatively and the bad things that befell me. Barmi brati de Rav Chista, with the exception of the daughter of Rav Chista, who was the wife of Rava, and twice in the interpretations of the dreams, Bar Hadyo said to Rava that his wife would pass away. And then he says, I will not forgive you for it. Hey Rava, delimsaru gavra lidem de malchuta, I want this individual to be turned over to the authorities, who have no mercy on him, meaning that Rava basically curses him for all the difficulties he caused, or most importantly, because he said his wife is going to pass away, and therefore he cursed him that he should be captured by the authorities, and they will have no mercy upon him. Amar mai avid. So now Bar Hadyo is stuck in a bind, and he says, what am I going to do? Gemiri, we have a misora. It seems to be that Bar Hadyo was somewhat knowledgeable, and maybe even a Talmud Chacham, because it says, "Dekilat Chacham, afilu bichinam," a curse from a Chacham, even if it's for naught, or even if it's just thrown out, hiba, it comes true. Which obviously raises some philosophical questions as, why is it that a klala of a Chacham that has no basis still comes true? Whether you'd simply think that that throws it to the world of Teva, and therefore the person's affected by the natural course of the world, and just not saved by a Kodesh Baruch Hu from what naturally would happen, which is the way the Kobet Shirim explains it in the Gemara Ketubot, Samach Bet Amud Bet, or others like the Mikta Meliel explain, had it not been for the fact that the Talmud Chacham had a reason to curse him, even though in the end that reason turns out to be unsubstantiated, but the fact that this person caused the Talmud Chacham to be makbid, that in and of itself is a negative that causes the klala to come true because of the negative impact that he had or influence that he had on this Talmud Chacham that caused him to be in pain and say such a curse. Because again, Rava, Debedino Kalait. And certainly over here, where Rava has a right to curse me, or he really is justified in cursing me, and therefore it's definitely going to come true. Amar Ikum Ve'igle. He says, you know what? I'm going to put myself into self-exile. Damamar Galut Mechaperet Avon. Going into exile is Mechaper for Avonot. Kam Gali the Bey Romai. So he put himself into exile to Bey Romai. It's not clear here whether Bey Romai is the name of a place, or rather it's a area which was under Roman dominion. And therefore he was leaving the Persian Empire where the Amoraim in Bavel lived, and he was moving westward to where the Romans had control. And so he's Megaleh himself to a place which is under Roman dominion. Yativ Apitcha Deresh Torzina, the Malka. He went and sat down at the doorway to the keeper of the king's wardrobe. Resh Torzina Chazachalma, the head master of the wardrobe, had a dream. Amalei Chazachalma Da'il Machto Be'etzvati. I saw a dream that a needle went into my finger. Amalei Havli Zuza. So he says, if you give me a Zuz, and then obviously he would have interpreted the dream. Velo Yoivle, and he doesn't pay him. Lo Amarle Velo Mide, and therefore he doesn't interpret the dream for him. So from this you see that Bar Hadja, even though he put himself into Galut, is not really doing tshuva, because he's not changing his methodology, he's not changing his ways. Now, how did the head of the wardrobe of the king even know that he could interpret dreams? So it must have been that he mentioned something, or he told them something. So he's obviously engaged in the profession still, and he's still acting in the same manner. Amalei chazai denafla tichla betartin etzbati. Says, I saw that there were two worms that fell into two of my fingers. Amalei havli zuza. Once again, Bahadja says, give me a zuz. Velo yoivle. And the head of the king's wardrobe refused to give it to him. Velo amalei. And he didn't say anything. He didn't interpret it. Amalei chazai denafla tichla bekule yodo. I had another dream and I saw there were worms on my entire hand. Amalei. So he finally gives the interpretation without the payment. Nafal tichla bekulu shirai. The entire wardrobe of the king is infested now with worms or moths that are eating the wool or the silk. Shamei Bel Malka, the king's entourage, got word of this. Vatyua, the Reish Torzina. They brought in the head of his wardrobe. Kakadlile. And they were going to put him to death because he didn't take care of the king's wardrobe. And he didn't ensure that they wasn't infested, didn't get ruined by these pests. Amalei, Ana Amai. Why are you killing me? Aitulahai, you should bring that guy, Bar Hajin, Tabayodo of Lo Amar. He knew the information, and yet he didn't tell him. Because he had the first two dreams earlier, whereby had he paid him, he would have gotten the information that they were infested and they could have stopped it earlier. It's only after he has the dream that the entire hand is full of worms, which means that the entire wardrobe is already infested, that he finally gave the interpretation without being paid. Had he given the interpretation earlier, they probably could have saved the wardrobe. Aitula Bar Hadja, Amarlei, Amatu Zuza Didach, Harvo Shirai the Malka. Because of your little payment, your zuz, the entire wardrobe of the king was lost, or all the expensive clothing, whether it was wool or silk, of the king was lost. Because of your miserliness, you caused huge losses to the king, and therefore you're deserving of the death penalty. So it's interesting that at the point when he finally maybe did tshuva by giving the interpretation without getting paid, that's in the end what causes him the problem, because they now realize that he could have given that interpretation earlier had they just paid him, and the delay was caused by the fact that he refused to take payment. So at first, where he didn't do tshuva, that's what ends up getting him trapped or into a problem. Kafitu train arze bechavlo. They tied two cedars together with a rope, meaning they pulled them tight together. They were still planted in the ground. They pulled them towards each other with a rope. Asur chad kare lechad arza, v'chad kare lechad arza. They tied one of his legs to one of the cedars, and another leg to the other cedar. And then they release the rope, so the trees go flying back. Adit Stalik, here we have the Girsa Reshe, until he split in half. Now, the Girsa of the Bach is that Amarava lo michiltole Adit Stalik Reshe. I will not forgive him until his head is completely split in half. Azokol chad v'chad v'kama duchte. And therefore, both trees then went back to their former position. Vit Stalik v'nafal betrain. And then he split in half and fell into two. It's a little bit strange, the Lashona Gemara, it seems that it happened twice, that he split in half and then his head split in half. According to the Gears of the Bach, Roba said he wouldn't forgive him until he was completely split in half. Either way, it was a terrible punishment, like Roba had cursed him, that he'd be captured by the governing authorities, the Romans, and they would have no mercy on him. And certainly that's what comes about to Bar Hadja, because of the negative interpretations that he had given to Roba, which Roba at first thought were the real interpretations of the dreams that he had had. But when Rava realizes that he's now influenced by being paid or not being paid, and in the end it all has to do with the interpretation and not that it's necessarily true for this particular individual and only this individual, he was very upset because all for money, this individual was causing problems to Rava and caused the death of his wife. And over here, the Ben Yoyada has a beautiful interpretation about the punishment. Bar Hadya caused the separation between Rava and his wife, and Ish Vishto are considered to be Guf Echad. They're considered to be a single unit. And therefore, the only appropriate punishment for Bar Hadya was for him to be separated and broken in half, just like he broke apart this married couple, Rava and his wife, the daughter of Rav Chisda. And then the Bach's addition over here, that Rava was not satisfied until he was split completely half, his Rosh, indicate that his wife was of such importance to him and meant so much to him that she was like his ateret, his crown on his head. And that's why he wanted the punishment to be befitting the pain that he caused Rava. And it came through cedar trees, because like we say in Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbat, that the tzaddikim ke'erez belvanon yisgeh, that they will multiply and they will flourish like the cedars of Lebanon. And therefore, the punishment came through the cedars. So now we have another story with regards to the interpretations of dreams by Rabbi Yishmael. And it says, Shaul ben Dama, who was ben Achotosh Rabbi Yishmael, was the son of the sister Rabbi Yishmael, was his nephew. As Rabbi Yishmael, so Rabbi Yishmael's nephew asked him, Ra'iti shnei lechayai shenashru, I saw that my two jawbones dislodged or dislocated. Amar, so he interpreted the dream to mean Shnei Gedudei Romi, two Roman legions, Yatsu Alecha Ra, had taken counsel or planned to do bad to you, Umetu, and they passed away or they died. So the Chayayim, the jaw bones, which are the area of speech, so that was what they took counsel or planned bad about you. But when they fell out or they dislocated, that was the fact that they died and they couldn't bring it to fruition. Amale Bar Kapara, the Rabbi. So Bar Kapara said to Rabbi, Ra'iti chotmi shenashar, I saw my nose that fell off in a dream. Amalei charon af nistalek mimcha, anger was taken away or dismissed from you. Because charon af, the description of the nose flaring up is a description of anger. The fact that it fell away means that there was supposed to be some anger, and it was dismissed or dissipated. Amalei ra'iti shnei yadai shenechtechu, I saw my two hands that were cut off. What's interesting about the stories of Bar Kapara's dreams are that they're all seemingly negative things, yet Rabbi in each case is able to interpret them to the positive. Amalei, lo titzarech lemasei yadecha, you're going to become very wealthy, and you won't have to work anymore. Amalei, ra'iti bet raglei shenikta'u, I saw my two legs were cut off. Amalei, asus atarochev, you're going to be so important, or you're going to be so wealthy that you won't have to walk anymore, you'll be taken on a horse. Chazai damerli ba'adar mitat v'nisan lo chazit, I saw in a dream that you will die in Adar and you won't see the month of Nisan. Amalei ba'ajruta mitat. You're going to pass away in your glory. From the word Adar, Hadar, that you're passing over, la'atit lidei nisayon. And you won't come to any test and you won't have anything negative associated with your death. Now we turn back to the story with Rabbi Yishmael in a very interesting story that's difficult to understand, which is Amalei ha'utstuki, the Rabbi Yishmael. The Stuki says to Rabbi Yishmael, Ra'iti, and he starts to tell over to him all of these dreams. And Rabbi Yishmael in each of the cases interprets the dreams. The question is, why is Rabbi Yishmael interpreting the dreams for this Stuki? So it's very likely that he was doing it in order to show that this Stuki was not really as pious as he indicated, because through his dreams, Rabbi Yishmael is able to see that this person's really a sinner or a problematic person, or it was in order to bring evidence to the fact that Rabbi Yishmael's interpretations of dreams were actually correct. Now, of course, his Talmidim believe him, but now this gave broader publicity to the fact that Rabbi Yishmael had this capacity to interpret dreams, because he's now doing it for individuals who don't believe in the powers of Rabbi Yishmael, and yet here we see that he is successful at interpreting the dreams. So maybe for either one of those reasons, he does go ahead and interpret the dreams of this Stuki. So, Ra'iti shani mashkesh shemen lezeitim, I was feeding oil to the olives. Amalei balaimo, this person is a sinner who slept with his mother. That's why he's taking that which derived from the olive and trying to put it back into the olive. Amalei chazai dekatif li kochva, I saw that I was picking a star out of the sky. Amalei bar Yisrael ganaf, you stole from a Jew or you kidnapped a Jewish individual who are nimshalu lekochavim. Amalei chazai debalati li kochva, I saw that I swallowed a star. Amalei bar Yisrael zavante v'achalt lidamei, You kidnapped a Jew, sold him off, and then you consumed the monies that you received for it. Amalei chazai enai denashkana dodi. The Maharis either were kissing each other or bumping into each other. Amalei ba'al achuto is an individual who slept with his sister, because the parallel eyes are indicative of a brother and a sister siblings. And the fact that they are now bumping together or kissing together is an indication that he slept with his sister. Amalei chazai denashke siara. I saw that I was kissing the moon. Amalei ba'al eshet Yisrael. I know now that you slept with a married woman from Israel. As we know, the Jews are nimshalu le'yareach, to the moon. And similarly, a woman is compared to a moon because she reflects the light of her husband. And that's what we see in the dream of Yosef, that his father was nimshal kishemesh, his mother le'yareach, and his brothers le'kochavim. Amalei chazai de'darichna bituna da'asa. I saw that I was stomping on the shadow of hadas of a myrtle. Amalei ba al naram ruasa. You slept with a woman who was halakhically engaged. And as Rashi explains over here, because that was the practice, a woman who had yet to be married when she was being taken to the chuppah, that they used to decorate the chuppah with hadasim, with myrtle. And that was an indication that it was her first marriage and that she was a betula that was getting married. So his stomping on the shadow of a myrtle was an indication that he had slept with a woman who was halakhically engaged. Amalei chazai tuna milai. I saw a burden or a package or really a bed on top of me. Behu mitatai. And I was underneath it. Amalei mishkavach chafuch. That you had intercourse with you on the bottom and your wife on top. Amalei chazai orvai. Orve dehadre de Puria. I dreamt of many ravens coming to my bed. Amarlei ishtecha zanta manashim harbe. Your wife was an adulteress with many different men. Amarlei chazayone dehadre de Puria. I saw many dogs circling around or coming to my bed. Amarlei nashim harbe timeta. You slept with many married women because, as we saw before, that Yonah is a representation of the wife of an individual. Amarlei chazay denakit tre yone uparchan. I saw a dream where I was holding on to two yonim and they flew away. Amarlei tartin ishin asaf. You married two women. Upartartinun below get. And you released them without giving them a get. This is very similar to what Rava saw in the previous Amud. He also had a dream about two doves that flew away. Over there, Bar Hadja interpreted it that he would have two wives that he would divorce. Over here, the interpretation is that he has two wives that he sent them away but didn't divorce them. And the difference in interpretation might have to do with the fact that in the Tzduki's dream it says Zanokit that he's holding on to them still, which means that they were still bound to him as opposed to the dream of Rava. Amalei chazai deklifna bei. I saw in a dream that I was peeling an egg. Amalei shachvei kamishach. You are stripping the dead of their clothing. And an egg is connected to the mate because you feed eggs to the avelim, just like lentils, because there are items that have no mouth to them, just like the avel or the mate has no capacity to speak in their condition. Amalei kulu itnubi. You got all of them right. Everything that you said is true. Bar miha, except for this last thing, delete, that it's not true, because that never happened. Now, it's very interesting because many times this is cognitive dissonance. A person will see that Rabbi Shmuel, one after the next, is getting all of these things right, and then he gets one wrong. And for this individual, this Stuki, it was enough that Rabbi Shmuel got one thing wrong to undermine all the credibility that Rabbi Shmuel had. And even though Rabbi Shmuel has demonstrated over and over again that he's getting them all right, that one little mistake causes a person to suddenly question the credibility of Rabbi Yishmael. It's a human condition. It's something that you have to be very careful about, because you could talk yourself into anything, because if you don't want to believe or you're trying to convince yourself of something, you will use the smallest excuse, however far-fetched that it is, in order to justify your position and not have to take responsibility or acknowledge whatever is happening in front of your eyes. And Rabbi Shmulevitz speaks about this in the Sichat Musar, how this has this deleterious effect on an individual's ability to take corrective action or to believe in that which they need to believe in. Adachi v'achi. But sure enough, in the interim, atya hayitita, a woman shows up, Amrele, and she says, damn, I glima demichsa, that cloak that you're wearing, the gavra plonihu, the meat, yet is from that person who passed away, v'shalachte, and you stripped it off of him. So sure enough, even this one, the fact that he denied, here we have outside evidence of the fact that Rabbi Shmuel interpreted it properly. Amalei chazai d'amrili shavaklach avuch nixei bekapudkia. He said to him, I had a dream that it said that my father left me possessions in a place called Kaputkia. He says, sure enough, that means that you have possessions and your father left you something in this place called Kaputkia. Amarle, it's a question whether this needs to be here, because it seems to be that Rabbi Shmuel speaking again. Didn't your father go to this place? Amale, laf. No, he never went there. So then, im kein, Rabbi Shmuel says, kaputkia is really a contraction of two words. One is kapa, which as Rashi says over here, is the Greek word for kshura, for a beam. And deka is the Greek word for asara, for 10. Like you have a decameter or a decimeter. Dek in Greek or Latin is a 10. And therefore he said, zil chaze kapa deresh asara. Go look on the 10th beam in your house, shimalei azuze, that is going to be full of money over there, whether it means on top of the beam or inside the beam. Azal ashkach shimalei azuze, and sure enough, he went and checked, and there was tons of money that was left there seemingly by his father. Now the Gemara switches gears a little bit and moves on to specific items that people see in a dream and the meaning of seeing those items in a dream. Amar Rabbi Chanina, aroya be'er b'chalom. Someone who sees a cistern or a well in a dream, roya shalom, he will have peace. Shneamar v'yachperu abdei Yitzchak, v'nachal v'yimtzu sham be'er ma'im chayim. That the servants of Yitzchak dug a well in the riverbed, v'yimtzu sham be'er ma'im, and they found a live spring. And even though in this particular instance it ended up with a altercation with a roe grar, nevertheless in the end they finally do dig up a well, which brings peace and where there's no argument about it, which is, take me sham yachpor b'aracheret v'lo ravu ala, v'krash mo rechovot. So the end game of this is a peaceful resolution, and therefore it's something positive. Rabbi Natan Omer, matzah Torah. Someone who sees a dream like that is really a reference that he found Torah, shnemar, kimotzai matzah chaim, that when you find me, you will find life, devhocha be'er mayim chaim, meaning that the Torah, which is nimshala kimayim, is compared to water. So when you have found a Be'er Mayim Chaim in a dream, that's an indication that the person has found a well of Torah. And the Gemara actually back on Daf Chet had a machloket as to whether this pasuk is a reference to an isha, to a woman, or is it a reference to the Torah. And so this clearly favors the interpretation that it's referencing to Torah, although you could argue, even according to the one who says it's an isha that helps to facilitate his ability to learn Torah. Rava Amar Chaim Mamash. Rava says it literally means life because it says Be'er Mayim Chaim. And just like we found in their day, things that were simanim, something that was alive or very alive, if you consumed it or if you saw it, it gave you life. So too, when you see a Be'er that's associated with Mayim Chaim, that's a good siman for Chaim, for a long life. Amar Rabbi Chana and Shlosh Flomotem. There are three things that if you see them in a dream are an indication of shalom. Nahar, a river. Tzipor, a bird. Ukdeira, a pot. This is actually the source for the title of the book, The River, the Kettle, and the Bird, A Guide to a Successful Marriage. It comes from here that these items are a siman of shalom. Nahar dichtiv, because the pasuk says, Ininu te'elea kenar shalom, that I will lean towards it like a river of peace, which is in the last parak in Yishayahu, which begins, Komar Hashem, Hashemayim kisiv ha'aretz ha'adom raglai, which is the Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh that coincides with Shabbat. And Hashem says that I'm going to return to Yerushalayim in the end. Ke nahar shalom, ke nachal shoteif, kvod goyim v'inaktem, atzadti naseil v'arbikayim tisha'ashuah. So it's a nevuah of Nechama, of Hashem's return to Yerushalayim. And then we know Tzipor is a siman for shalom, because it says another nevuah of Yishayahu in Perek Lamed Aleph, where Hashem says that He protect Bnei Israel, Ketziporim Afot, Ken Yagen Hashem Tzvakot Al Yerushalayim, like the birds that take flight quickly, so too Hashem Tzvakot will provide protection and return to Yerushalayim in a sudden manner. Ganon Vitzil Pasoach V'imlit. Speaking about when Hashem comes to protect Chizkiyahu HaMelech and the people trapped in Yerushalayim from the armies of Sanhedrin. And over here it mentions the word Pasoach, which connects it also to the miracle of Pesach. And it's a remez to peace or shalom because of the fact that Hashem is providing protection to Yerushalayim and will take away the battling armies of those that seek to destroy it. And Kedera, Dichtiv, because it once again says in Yishayahu, Hashem tishpot shalom lanu, Hashem will lay out for us or set up peace for us. Kikam go ma'asenu paltalanu, because you always have done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Grohl explains over here that these three different representations of Shalom are actually progressive in nature. The Nahar is a river that flows between two banks of the river, which keeps them separate, but it keeps Shalom between them. Then the Tzipor flies from the Aretz to the Shemayim and back and forth, so it's Mechaber between the heaven and the earth. And then the Kederah is even stronger in bringing Shalom because it separates between fire and water, which can't coexist, but makes it possible for them to be utilized and to flourish in that environment. And therefore, the Kederah is the highest form of those that bring Shalom. And the Maharal sees it as being representative of different relationships that need peace or good relations between the parties. One of them is between a man and his fellow man, which is represented by the Nahar, where different rivers flow and then meet, come together. And a bird represents the Shalom between an authority and the subjects that are under them, because that's a bridge between Shemayim and Aretz. And the pot represents the Shalom between a man and his wife, because they become like a guf echad, like something that's cooking in a seer, becomes a single item through the fire and water that are brought together. And others playing on that Maharal also want to suggest that the Shalom that's spoken about here are Shalom in the micro, which is between a husband and a wife, by like the Kederah represents, say, Shalom in the micro between one party and another party, or a husband and a wife. The Nahar represents peace within a region or an area because the river covers those areas. And it's Tzipor, which flies all over the place, represents Shalom in the whole world. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, that's only true if it's a Kederah Shein Ba Basar. It's a pot that doesn't have meat in it in the dream, because Shaninu, we have the Pasuk in Micha that describes Hashem's disappointment in the leaders of Bnei Yisrael, and it says that you should listen, Moshe Yaakov Ktzinei Beit Yisrael, you should have known what is just and right. Instead, you've hated good, and you've loved bad, and you've stole the skins of the people from on them. After tearing their skins off of them and their flesh off of their bones, and then breaking their bones into bits, then you cut it up into a pot like meat in a cauldron. So you see that there's a negative association with pieces of meat, or cut up pieces of meat inside of a pot. And that's why if you see it in a dream, it has negative connotations. Now the Gemara is going to move on to discuss a number of items of what you see in a chalom, whereby you need to create a positive interpretation before there's a negative interpretation of the pasuk, or the item that you see in the dream. And it'll turn out that it's some of the items that we saw before, which generally are of a positive nitiyah to them in terms of their interpretation. Nevertheless, the Marshal points out that despite the fact that we would lean heavily to the positive side in terms of the interpretation, still, if it's interpreted negatively, it will have a negative impact, and therefore the Gemara recommends in all of these cases that you should have in your mind, or interpret it with a pasuk of positivity before a negative pasuk comes into your mind. And the Gemara is going to go through a list of these items. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rei Na'ar B'Chalom, one of the items that we just mentioned before, Yashkim Yomar, he should get up and say the pasuk that we noted before, which indicated that it is associated with Shalom, which is Hinini Noteilea Kinar Shalom, Kodem Shiyakdemenu Pasuk Acher, before another negative pasuk comes to him, Ki Yavo Kanahar Tzar, where Perek Nun Tet in Yeshayahu speaks about that Hashem is not incapable of bringing Yeshua, salvation and redemption to the people, but it's the sins of the people that cause the problem. And Hashem is punishing them because they don't keep tzedakah mishpat, they don't treat people properly. Then Hashem finally sees that there's nobody left amongst Klal Yisrael to save them, and he himself has to come in and provide that salvation. And it says that when he comes to provide that salvation, v'yira'u mimarav et shem Hashem, and in the west they will revere the name of Hashem, u'mimizrach shemesh et kvodo, and in the east his glory or his presence, ki avo kenahar tzara, because he will come like a narrow river, ruach Hashem nos in which the wind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is driving through. And so here it's Hashem bringing punishment on those that persecuted Bnei Yisrael and those that are evil. And the next pasuk afterwards is Uvalitzion Goel, Ushaveh Pesha B'Yakov Nu Mashem, which is the pasuk that we say in davening every morning, Uvalitzion Goel, that Hashem will then bring a redeemer to Klal Yisrael for those that return from the iniquity of Yaakov. But the Nahar Tzar, a narrow river, is used here in a form of punishment, even though it's a punishment of the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and so therefore that would be a negative interpretation of the word Nahar. Someone sees a bird in a dream, Yashkim V'Omar, he should get up and say the pasuk that we quoted before again from Yishai, before of Kitzipor, Kitziparim Afot, Ken Yagen Hashem Tzev Akot, which was the positive pasuk, called him Shekipenu Pasuk Acher, before you get the negative pasuk that comes from Mishlei, nefesh sveya tavus nofet, a person who is satisfied in full rejects that which is served to him. Nefesh reiva kol mar matok, and someone who's hungry, everything that's bitter is sweet. Kitzipor nodedet min akina, like a bird that takes flight from its nest. Kenish nodeid mim kamo, so too is a person that leaves his place. That would have a negative connotation of you having to move around or to wander. Haroek deirab b'chalom, someone who sees a pot in a dream, yashkim v'yomar, should scud up and say the pasuk that we quoted before from Yishayahu, Hashem tishpot shalom lanu, kodem shigdvenu pasuk acher, before he gets the other pasuk that comes from Yechezkel, where Yechezkel gets a nevoah about the fact that on that day, Melech Babel was laid siege to Yerushalayim, u'mishol el beit ha-meri mashal, and tell these rebellious people the following parable, v'mar talehem, ko'amar Hashem elukim, this is what Hashem says, shvot hasir, shvot, v'gam yitzok bo mayim, place the cauldron down on the fire and put water into it, and then put all the meat and the bones and everything into it to be cooked up, because that's what's going to happen to this city that is full of blood, because they haven't rectified their ways. They're going to be boiled up in Yerushalayim like the way it's boiled up in a pot, which is obviously a negative connotation. Someone who sees grapes in a dream, yashkim v'yomar, should get up and say the pasuk from Hosea, which says, kanavim b'midbar matzati Israel, like grapes in the midbar I found my people Israel, your forefathers were like a first fig to ripe on the tree for me. But then they worshipped Baal Peor, and then they became as repulsive to me as the love that I originally had for them. But then you can see in there that the Anavim represent that love that Hashem had for us in the beginning. Therefore, it's positive. Before you get to the pasuk that's found in Parshat Hazinu, that if they really understood what was going on here, they would take heed. How is it possible that and then it says, give me Geffen Stom Gafnam, and that their vines are from the vines of Sodom, Ishadmot Amora, and from the vineyards of Amora, Anevermo in Verosh. There are grapes, are like poison, Ashkalot Morot Amo. They are like bitter clusters. And so that's a negative association with the grapes. So you want to get the positive pasukin before you get the negative association. Rehar b'chalom, someone who sees a mountain in a dream, yashkim, should get up and say the pasuk that's found in Yishayahu Nunbet, which is one of the Shibin and Nechemta. Manavu al-Harim, how welcome or how at home are those on the mountains? Raglei Mivaser, the footsteps that herald Mashmiah Shalom, the one who announces about peace. Mivaser Tov, that brings good tidings. Mashmiah Yeshua, it heralds salvation. Omer L'Tzion, Malach Elokayach, to tell Tzion that God is your king. So here you have a mention of Harim in a very positive context. You should have that. Kodem shikdemenu pasuk acher, before you said the pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu, and is the source for the fact that we say kinot on Tisha B'Av, ala ha'arim, ese b'chim enehi, on the mountaintops you should cry and wail. On the Ot Midbar and in the pastures of the deserts, kinah, you should raise a dirge. Ki nitzdu mibli ish over, because now they are empty, laid to waste without anybody passing through them. Lo shamu kol mikneh, they no longer hear the sounds of the herds. Me'of ha-shamayim ad be'ma nadudu halachu, from the birds of the sky to the animals, they've all moved on, they've all fled, and no longer are there. So obviously that's a negative association with har, and so you want to get the good pasuk before you get the negative pasuk. Harei shofar b'chalom, person who sees a shofar in a dream, yashkim v'yomar, you should get up and say the pasuk to interpret it in a positive light from the pasuk in Yishayahu. Vaya bayomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. On that day they'll blow the great shofar. Va'uvdim b'eretz ashur. And all those that have been lost in eretz ashur will return. Va'nidachim. And those that have been pushed away b'eretz Mitzrayim will return. Vishtachvu l'Hashem barakodesh b'Yerushalayim. They will all bow down to Hashem on the holy mountain in Yerushalayim. So obviously a positive association with the tkiyat shofar. Verses kodem shikdmenu pasuk acher, before he gets the pasuk from Hosea, shimuzot kohanim v'akshivu beit yisrael beit hamelech hazinu k'lachem ha-mishpat, that you should have been just, or you should have acted justly, ki pach ha'item l'mitzpah v'reshet prusha al tavor, and instead you become a stumbling block, a trap, and a net to capture those that are in these areas, and you haven't returned to Hashem. Hashem bagadu, you've rebelled against Hashem, ki banim zarim yaladu, you've bore children from foreigners, atayuchleim chodesh et chelkehem. Tiku shofar begiva. Blow the shofar in the giva. Chatzotzra berama. Which is their areas in Eretz Binyamin. Ariu beit oven acharecha Binyamin. And then trumpet the house of iniquity after you Binyamin. And then it continues. Ephraim l'shamatiyah. Ephraim will be destroyed. Laid waste to. Beyom tochacha. On the day of retribution, so it's a very negative association with Tiku b'shofar, because here the shofar is a warning of the impending doom, rather than the positive shofar, that is the sign or the siren for the coming redemption. Someone sees a dog in a dream, yashkim v'yomar, he should get up and say the pasuk that we find in Parshat Bo, when Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, l'chol Bnei Yisrael yichratz kelev lishono, that when Bnei Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, no single dog barked, whether they were there to secure and the dogs didn't bark, or they just didn't make a lot of noise, meaning that it was supportive of Bnei Yisrael's leaving Mitzrayim. Call them shikdemenu pasuk kacher, before he gets the negative pasuk, which is the pasuk found in Yishayahu Nunvav, which is the kriya that we have on a fast day. After the end of that kriya that we normally have on a fast day, this pasuk appears, despite the fact that there will be redemption and salvation in the future where everybody will get together. In contrast to that, you have Sofav Ivrim, Kulam Lo Yadu, Kulam Klavim Ilmim, Lo Yuchlolin Boach, Hozim Shochvim Ovelanum. The watchmen are lacking sight. They don't perceive anything. They are all like dogs that are unable to bark, and they lie down sprawling. They love to doze off outside. But Klavim Azay Nefesh, and the dogs are brazen or greedy, lo yadu sab'a, they're never satisfied. Behem ro'im lo yadu, do avin, and the shepherds don't know anything better. Kulam ledarkam panu ish lebitzo mikatzeyu, all of them go off on their own way, everyone looks out for themselves, and they go on with their lives as if nothing has changed or nothing has gone. So obviously here is a negative association with the kelev. Hore Ari Bechalom, someone who sees a lion in a dream, Yashkim Yomar, he should get up and say the pasuk that we find in Amos, where Hashem says that you and I, Bnei Yisrael, are a single family, that we're still together. And then there's a number of mashalim that are given there. Hayochu shnayim yachdav b'itim no'adu. Could it be? Will two people walk together unless they're made for each other? Hayishagayeh b'yar. With a lion roar in the forest, v'teref ein lo, when he has no prey, ha'itein kfir kolo mima'anoto biltim lachad, will the lioness raise her voice from her den, unless there's some prey that's been captured? And then it keeps going, and so too, imitaka b'shofar be'ir, v'am lo yachiradu, you blow a shofar in a city, will the people not be fearful? T'yeh ra'a be'ir, v'ashem lo asa, if something bad happens to a city, doesn't it come from Hashem? God doesn't do anything before he lets his prophets know that which is going to happen. And then the puzzle says, Aryeh Sha'ag Milo Yira. And the lion roars, who's not fearful? Hashem Elukim Diber Milo Nevet. And if Hashem has spoken, who doesn't give prophecy? So there's a positive association with Aryeh. But you should do that, Kodem Shiktmenu Pasuk Acher, before you get the negative pasuk that is found in Yirmiyahu, that the people should Yidu B'Yudah B'Yishalayim Hashmiu B'Imru Tik'uv Shofar Ba'aretz, blow the shofar, Kiru Malu, everybody gather together, B'Imru Esvo V'Novoel Arei Mitzar, let's go into the fortified cities, Suneis Tziona Eizu Altamodu, you should raise the flag in Tzion, be quick and brash, and don't stay in place, Kira Anochi Mevi Mitzafon B'Shever Gadol, out of the north, the bad is coming, the Babylonians are coming to you, and there'll be a great breach or destruction. Allah Aryeh Misubcho. The lion has risen from his den. Umashkid Goyim Nasa Yatsa Mimkomo. And he's destroying nations on his march that he's left his place. There's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Lasum Artzech L'Shama. He's coming to lay your land to waste. Arayach Titzena Me'en Yoshev. And he will empty your cities of any inhabitants. So again, there, that's an Aryeh that's in a negative association, where the Aryeh refers to the Babylonians or Nebuchadnezzar coming to destroy Klal Yisrael. Wrote Tiglachat Bechalom, someone who sees either a haircut or a shave in his dream, Yashkim Yomar, he should say the pasuk that's associated with Yosef at Tzadik, Vayigalach Vayachleif Simlotav, that when they took him out of the boar to put him in front of Paro, that they shaved him and cut his hair and changed his clothing. Kodem Shukdvenu Pasuk Acher, for the pasuk that's found by Shimshon, when he finally reveals his secret to Delilah, he says, Gulach devisar mimeni kochi, that if you shave my hair, then I will lose all of my strength, and that's what they end up doing, and taking away all the strength of Shimshon. Roya be'er b'chalom, someone who sees a well, or a cistern in a dream, Yashkim yomar, you should say the pasuk, which is described in Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet, Gan na'ul achoti kala, gal na'ul mayan chatum, and then in describing the woman, it says, mayan ganim, like a spring in the gardens, Be'er Mayim Chaim, a live water well, Nozlim in Lebanon that are flowing down from Lebanon. Before, the pasuk from Yirmiyahu Perek Vav comes to mind, Komar Hashem, Tzvalkot, Kirtu Eitzav, Shivchu Al Yushalayim Solila. Because this is what Hashem says, that they cut down the trees, and they're going to raise a mound that helps the people sieging the city of Yerushalayim to break in. It's a city that's destined for punishment because there's only fraud that's found inside of Yerushalayim. As the well flows with water, so flows the wickedness of Yerushalayim. Hamas v'shodi shama ba. Lawlessness and rapin are heard inside of Yerushalayim. Alpanai tamid choli umaka. Before me constantly are the sickness and the wounds. Hivasri Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, take rebuke that I'm giving you. Penteka nafshi mimek, because otherwise I might be disgusted with you. Penasemich shimama eretz lo noshava. Lest I might make you into a desolate area where there's no longer any inhabitants. So obviously that's a negative association with a boar. The word is spelt in the ktiv boar, but it's pronounced bayir, which means as the well flows with water, so it flows with wickedness, kenya kararatam, or just like the waters of the boar are cold, so too it has frozen over with wickedness. So the Gemara then continues, Areya kaneh b'chalom, someone who sees a reed in a dream, yashkim yomar, he should get up and say, kaneh ratzutz lo yishbor. The pasuk from Yishayahu Membet, Rashem says, in abdi et mochbo, he is my servant that I support, b'chiri, my chosen one. And it goes on to describe all the qualities of this individual. And one of those is, Kane Retzutz Lo Yishbor. He won't even break a bruised reed. Upishta Keha Lo Yechabena. He won't extinguish even a dimmed wick. Le'emet Yotzi Mishpat. And he will always bring out judgment to its truth. That's the positive pasuk. Before, Kodesh Yivdenu Pasuk Acher, before he gets the other pasuk that's found in Melachim Bet, when Sanherib is laying siege to Yerushalayim, Rav Shakeh, his general, is speaking to the people of Chizkiyahu inside of the city, and saying to them, what do you think is going to save you from the armies of Sanherib that have destroyed everything in the area, and you're the only ones left standing? Are you resting on this broken reed? On Mitzrayim asher yisameh ishalav, on Mitzrayim that a person will rely on, ubabe kapo, unekava, kein paro melech Mitzrayim lechol potchim alav. Paro turns his back, or is treasonous with all those that have had alliances with him. He's not going to save you over here. Then he goes on to say, you think Hashem's going to save you over here? None of that's going to work, and you're going to fall in the hands of Sanherib. So that's obviously a negative connotation with Mishenet HaKaneh Ratzutz. Tarabanan, Areya Kaneh B'Chalom Yitzpeh L'Chochmah. Someone who sees a reed in a dream should look forward to Chochmah because of the play on the words in Mishlei, which say both in Pasukei and Pasuk Zayin, Kaneh Chochmah, Kaneh B'Ninah. One should acquire wisdom, one should acquire understanding. Don't leave it, it will take care of you. If you love it, and it will keep you well. The first step in wisdom is to acquire wisdom. And with all your purchases, you should purchase understanding. And so they're playing on the word kinei to mean not only to purchase, but kaneh, a reed. And that plays into the psukim over here, which says that if you see a kaneh in the chalom, then you should look forward to chokhmah, because it says kaneh chokhmah. Whereas if you see kanim in the dream, multiple reeds, it's pele bina. Then you should think of bina because of what we read. V'chol kinyan ha'cha, kaneh bina. With all your purchases, you should purchase understanding. Am Rabbi Zeira, kra, kore, kira, kanya, kulu malu l'chalma. If you see any of these items in a dream, they are positive. Kra is a gourd. Kora is a heart of palm. Kira is wax, Kanya is a reed, they're all positive. Tanya, Ein Marim Duim, Elamishu Yarei Shemayim B'Kol Kocho. They only show gourds to individuals who are really fearful of the heaven with all their might. As Rashi explains over here, that the word Kra, which is translated as Dalat, someone who sees Duim or Dalat B'Chalom, is a Yarei Shemayim, because it comes from the Pasuk in Yishayahu, Daluei Einai L'Marom. Let my eyes rise up to the heavens. So that's the word dalat, is a play on the dalu, that my eyes should be raised up to the heavens. Areya shor b'chalom, someone who sees an ox in a dream, yashkim yomar, he should get up and say the pasuk that's found in the bracha of Yosef and Zot HaBracha, b'chor shoro hadar lo, he is the firstborn oxen, that is his glory. Kodem shikdenu pasuk acher, before he has another pasuk that's found in Parshat Mishpatim, kigach shor et ish, that a shor gores a man, which is obviously a negative connotation. Tan Rabbanan, chamishad varim nemru b'shor, five things are said about a shor, seems from the context here, means that somebody sees these items in a dream. Ha'ochel mibsaro, if you're eating from the flesh of the ox, mitasher, that's a siman of wealth, and that you will be wealthy. Nakcho, if he was gored by it, habilei banim shem nakchim b'torah, then you'll have children that fight in the halls of Torah. Nashcho, if the shor bites you, yisurim bayim alav, then bad things will happen to you. Ba'ato, if it kicks you, derech rechoka nizdam lolo, then you have a long trip or a long travails that will take place for you. Rakvo, if you're riding on it, ole lugdula, you're going to be elevated to a place of stature. Batanya rakvo mate. Don't we have another bright that says if you're riding on an ox, it's an indication that you might die? Lokasha derachiv hu letorah. Depends who's riding whom. If you're riding on the ox, then that's a positive connotation. If the ox is riding on you, then that's a negative connotation and is associated with death rather than being ole l'gdula. Someone who sees a donkey in his dream should look for salvation, shenemar, because the pasuk in Zechariah speaking about the Melech HaMashiach says, Gilu ma'od bat Zion, ariu bat Yerushalayim. You should be joyous, daughters of Zion. You should cry out, the daughters of Yerushalayim, Hinei Malkech Yavolach, your king is coming to you, Tzadik, he is righteous, V'noshau, and he'll bring salvation. Ani V'rochev Al Chamor, a poor individual riding on a donkey, V'al Ayar Ben Otonot. So you see there that riding on a donkey has a positive connotation. Haruech Hatul B'chalom, someone who sees a cat in a dream, V'atru Dekarele Shunra, in a place where they call a cat a Shunra, that's the name for it, Nasit Lo Shira Na'a. Then it becomes a nice song for him. Shinran, on the other hand, if they call a cat in that area, Shinran aselo shinuira, then something negative will take place. Haruea navim b'chalom, if he sees grapes in a dream, which we saw before, can have positive connotations. If they are levanot, if they are white grapes, ben bizmanan, ben shlob zmanan, yafot, whether they are ripe or not ripe, then they are a good siman. Shchorot, if they are dark grapes, then bizmanan. If they are ripe, yafot, then they're good for the dream. Shlovs manan ro'ot. If they're not ripe, then it's a negative connotation. Re'a sus slavan. Someone who sees a white horse in the chalom, in his dream, ben benachat ben berudof, whether they're trotting or galloping, yafelo, it's positive for him. Adom, if it's a reddish or brownish horse, benachat yafeh, if it's trotting, then it's good siman. Berudof, if it is galloping, kasher, then it's a negative connotation. Hare Yishmael b'chalom, tefilato nishmat. If a person sees Yishmael, and the Gemara will clarify right now, Davka Yishmael ben Abraham, that's Yishmael the son of Abraham, then his tefilot, his prayers are heard, because we know that Hashem listened to the cries of Yishmael. And so therefore that's a siman, that your prayers will be heard, as well as the fact that his name means Yishmael. Avataya ba'almalo. But if you see a regular Yishmaeli in your dream, that doesn't have that connotation. Re Gamal b'chalom, someone who sees a camel in his dream, Mita niknasa lo min hashamayim. Then death has been decreed for him from the shamayim. Bitzilua mimena, and then he was saved from it. Amar Rabbi Chama v'Rabbi Chanina, my kara. What is the pasuk? Vanochi ered imcha mitzrayma. Vanochi alcha gamalo. That I went down with you to Mitzrayim, and I will bring you back up. And as Rashi knows over here, the last two words, gamalo, you can contract them to be gamal. And then Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Meocha, it's from the pasuk that we find in Shmuel Bet, Gam Hashem Hevir Et Chatatcha V'lo Tamot, that's what Natan HaNavi tells David HaMelech after the Chet Batsheva, that Hashem will forgive you and you will not die. So over there again, it sounds like from the beginning of the pasuk Gam and the end of the pasuk Lo Yamut, that you can put together Gamal, although the Marsha says that it sounds like the word Gam maybe comes from the Greek letter Gem, that a gem is like a gimel yivanit. That's how you get from the word gam to gimel. That's how the Marsha explains it. If I was to give a pasuk for that, I would have quoted the pasuk that's at the end of Shmuel Aleph, when David goes to take retribution on the Amaleki who attacked his family and the families of his troops in Siklag and then took them all into captivity, and then he descends upon them to kill them. It says there, in Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Zayin, came David Me'aneshef Ad Erev L'Macharatam. It's a pasuk that we quote earlier in the Masechta about from morning until evening or evening to evening. Lo Nimlat Me'em Ish, not a single one of them survived. Kim Arba Me'ot Ish Nar, except for 400 young men, Asher Rachvu Agimalim Ve'Yanusu, who were riding on camels, and they were able to escape. So these are individuals who were going to be killed by David. And the only reason that they escaped from that death was because they were on camels that allowed them to get away. Rav Pinchas b'chalom, someone who sees Pinchas in a dream, pela na'aselo. Something wondrous is going to happen to him. The same way that by Pinchas, the miraculous events that took place when he killed Zimri ben Salu and Kazi bat Tzur, which are recorded in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Roy Piel b'chalom, someone who sees an elephant in a dream, Plaot naselo, then wonders will happen for him. It's a play on the word, obviously, Piel. Pilim, if he sees multiple elephants, Pile Plaot naselo, then even more wondrous things will happen to him. Ba'atanya, don't we have a braita that seems to say otherwise? Komine chayot yafin lechalom. All animals are good in dreams, chutz min apil, with the exception of an elephant, umen akof, or a monkey. Lokasha, that's not a problem. Ad masreg, ad lo masreg. Depends if they are saddled or not. If they are saddled, then it has a positive connotation. If they're not saddled, then it has a negative connotation because it means that they're wild. Okay, we're gonna stop here on the top line of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph.